I am really excited that we get the opportunity to hear such powerful worship, to be led in worship and to also hear and receive. And now we have come to the time where we're going into the Word of God, and I invite you to pray with me once more. Oh God, we have been so blessed. Thank you for how you equip each part of your body to be able to share in ways that move and inspire and transform us. We're asking that your Holy Spirit right now would come into our hearts, that you would settle us, that you would allow us to be able to hear from you today. Only you know what we need to hear. So do what you do so brilliantly. Speak to all of us at the same time through your word. In Jesus' name, amen. Our family really enjoys food. Anyone else here? Do you enjoy eating? You don't just do it because you need to, right? You do it because you enjoy it. When we moved here a year and a half ago, I could tell those of you who were foodies like us, because at the door, it's like, hey, welcome, Pastor. So glad you're here. Have you found good restaurants yet? We have a few that we'd like to share with you. And I'm like, where's my phone? I'll put them into Yelp, and I'll save those, because I save everywhere that we go so I can remember what city. I have places marked in all cities across the United States. I have places marked in some countries that we've been to that we found a really great restaurant. Yeah, if you're going somewhere, let's talk if we have similar food. Like, just things that we love and enjoy is eating. And some of you immediately started talking to me about what you enjoy too, and we loved it. But you know what, even if you're not really, really high on that scale of just delighting in how someone put this together and what did they use here, you have your favorites, right? You have your things that are your comfort foods, right? Like we heard, the vast variety of kids. Some, their favorite is pickles. Some, they detest pickles. You know, like the whole gamut right here. We could do the same with all of us here. We love to eat, right? Even to all the varying degrees we do, we take great joy and delight because it's something that was gifted to us from the very beginning. In Genesis chapter 1, it's like God put a banqueting table before humanity, and he said, go and eat everything that bears seed. Look, eat it, enjoy it. From the beginning in Genesis, this was our birthright. And so we catch up with Jesus on the mountainside, surrounded by disciples and the crowd. He climbs up the mountain and he sits in a position of authority and he teaches. And he tells us those who are blessed, those who are happy, those who are justified, those who are favored of God. And he surprises us, particularly those of us who enjoy food. With today, he surprises us. He flips the script again and he says to us, blessed are you who hunger and who thirst. Happy are you who have longing, you who are desperate. Happy are the ones who are hungry and thirsty. It's odd, isn't it? Some of you just hear this reading of the Beatitudes and you're like, yeah, heard that. But if you really stop to think about it, Jesus sitting there with disciples and crowd and he's saying, happy are the hungry and the thirsty. Doesn't it shock you a little bit when you think about what? Really? Is that who you really mean is happy? Is that such an odd thing for Jesus to say? Let's hear the scripture once more. He's sitting there. And in verse 3, he starts off, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. And then he says, blessed are you who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. These words of Jesus to say these same desires for food, these same desires that you have to drink and to eat, or nearly anything we're driven towards in our lives, work, new experiences, making relationships, this desire that pushes you forward, this is what I long for you to have towards righteousness. That same fervor that you approach these other areas, drinking and eating namely, that's the same fervor I want you to approach towards righteousness. So what does he mean by righteousness? Is this just a what some people say is I want good moral ethics, from I want people that are following after me and who are doing good? Let's see these three ways to translate this word righteousness. Unlike the word meek, which occurs only once, and we have to just look at that context, righteousness actually occurs five times just in the Sermon on the Mount alone. So let's look at these three. First is right relationship. Given the subject of the rest of the sermon, we can understand righteousness to mean to restore a right relationship. That means in our relationship with God, with other people, and with ourselves, that we desire the way God meant things to be. Blessed are those, it could read, hungering and thirsting for a right relationship with God and with those around us. We realize that the relationships in our life need healing and are broken, and we hunger and we thirst for it, for the restoration of God. Secondly, our longing for righteousness, holiness, and purity finds its deepest fulfillment in God alone. God is the source of all good, all righteousness, all light. So this yearning is this yearning for God, this yearning for what would complete and fill, this hungering and thirsting for wholeness and purity found in God alone. It's not in our own getting it right, which some could read it this way, because we realize that's not going to work very well, but it's something that comes from outside of ourselves. One commentary translates it, "Blessed are those who yearn for the manifestation of God's saving righteousness." So we have right relationship, God, and the third way you can translate this word righteousness is justice. This word can be translated justice. Blessed are those who feel desperate for a just world. We often want to be thought of as right, but Jesus wants to transform that desire into a longing for a just and caring society. Those who want things the way God meant them to be. And those who, as the rest of the sermon shares, seek to live their lives in a way that makes that happen. This means, as the New English Bible translates, how blessed are those who hunger and thirst to see right prevail. They will be satisfied. You know, scripture is like a gem that you hold up to the light and you turn it, and as you turn it, you see different angles, and it's beautiful, and it refracts the light, and you're like, oh, I never saw that before, never saw that before. As you're reading through and you're thinking about this in the context of right relationships or in a desperate hunger and thirst for God or in searching for justice, you can see it in a different way, right? You see the light coming through in a different way as you see how these words can take on different meanings. With particular attention to this last one with justice, when we compare this other time that Jesus spoke this sermon recorded in Luke, we see this bent towards justice that Jesus was infusing his words with. That's why we find that Gandhi and Martin Luther King Jr. both reference the Sermon on the Mount in the establishment of their movements, because they heard in Jesus this passionate desire to see things made right in the world. That's what they heard, and that is exactly what Jesus was drawing their attention to. Yes, Christians have been complicit in evil. Christians have been a part of things that we wish we weren't. But we have also been a part of great movements towards justice and righting relationships in the world. Amen? Can you think of times when you've seen someone step in and the world was a more just place because of how they stepped in? We hunger, we thirst for things to be made right. We desire, we hunger for reconciliation. We desperately long for the end of division and grief. We long for a complete and whole relationship with God like we were meant to have. What other hungers and thirsts do you have here this morning? If you were to just write them down, what do you hunger and thirst for? What do you find yourself longing for today? Longing for community, belonging. We're most connected, but we're most separate right now, right? We feel the most desperate for belonging. We long to make a difference. We long to love and forgive like God. We long to see justice in this world, right? There's this scene, if you can't remember the last time that you were hungry or thirsty, try to think of Tom Hanks in the scene from Castaway. Do you remember it? Doesn't your throat just feel drier just thinking back to imagining yourself? So the story, if you've never seen it, is that there's a crash and he's alone on a deserted island by himself alone. Yeah, that would be redundant. He's there, so desperate, so thirsty. This coconut falls, and then he's gathering them all up, and he's throwing them against the wall, just throwing them. And you're like, he's just wanting to get a drink. Just let one of them. But then finally, as he's cracking one with a rock, it breaks, and all that beautiful coconut water just spills out onto the ground. You can just feel his desperation to get into that coconut, can't you? Does anyone else love coconut water like me? Oh, man, I could take some right now. That's so good. So he's just desperate to get in. This is because healthy bodies are designed to be thirsty and to be hungry. It's a sign of health that we are desperate for drinking and for eating. Actually, our bodies, within our bodies, this is a sign of all things being well. It means your body is working right, letting you know what you need, letting you know that you are still alive. When someone no longer feels thirsty or when someone no longer wants food, then we know that something's wrong or we know that they're reaching the end. When someone has a concussion or when someone woke up, I've been there at the scene and suddenly their spouse is standing over them and the person's like, I'm hungry, or when are we eating? And they're suddenly like laughing through tears. Oh, he's gonna be okay. He's wanting food. It's so beautiful to our ears to hear that someone's hungry or thirsty again, right? Jesus uses these functions of the body as a metaphor to describe those who are blessed or happy and those who have this longing for God, for right relationships, and for justice. That those who actually have this desire and this thirst, this drive and this longing for something that goes beyond here, for a life that extends beyond what we experience. For we are hungering and thirsting after God, in what God intended for us to have from the beginning. C.S. Lewis says it this way, if I find in myself a desire which no experience in this world can satisfy, the most probable explanation is that I was made for another world. And it doesn't mean another world like a different earth. We were made for this third rock from the sun here, but it was meant to be a more complete and whole and reconciled and beautiful space. And so our longing to make it such, our hungering and our desire shows that God has put that in us from the beginning. So we have this hunger, we have this thirst. And Isaiah 55, 2-3 says, you are off buying bread that won't satisfy your hunger. And then Jeremiah in chapter 2, he says, you're drinking from broken cisterns and it's gonna leave you thirsty. Notice the problem is never the hunger or the thirst. Why were you hungry or why were you? No, that's not the question. It's why were you trying to fulfill your hunger with something that couldn't satisfy? Or why were you trying to drink from something that would only leave you desiring more? Broken cisterns and bread that doesn't satisfy. God is saying through Isaiah and Jeremiah, the hunger and the thirst is not the problem. I put that in you. But where you're trying to satisfy that is the problem. We know in our heads that getting, fill in the blank for yourself, getting whatever it is won't make us happy, right? Someone was joking with me this week. They're like, I know this, and yet I'm still doing that. I'm still going after it. We know it, but we still go after it. Going after something that won't fill or satisfy. You see, our hunger and our thirst is a sign of life. It's important for us to feel it. The hunger and thirst, though, that can only find satisfaction in God and the way God meant the world to be. So in this sermon, Jesus says, you're happy if you have hunger and thirst and if you name its true need, righteousness, the working of God in your life, the working of justice, this longing for God. There are so many new studies on what makes us happy. Now, it used to be, if you start reading, that there's this history of there used to be that we studied those who were most sad and most depressed, and we tried to understand what was going on. There have been recent studies where there's a study of those who are happy, those who are experiencing a high level of satisfaction and joy, and now investing in what makes them so happy. What causes them, and what can we learn from those who are experiencing that high level of joy? And so, University of Illinois psychologist Ed Diner said, and this is a quote, "Materialism is toxic for happiness, but it's not related to how much you have." So they discovered that those who were wealthy and those who had very, very little both could be highly materialistic. That it wasn't based on how much you have, but rather how you view what you have and what you use it for. So he said, those who stopped worrying about taking care of themselves alone and instead invested themselves for the sake of others found themselves more happy than the rest of the cohort. Those who stopped being most concerned about their own needs but instead found a way to invest in the needs of others, they ranked the most happy. Now, that's so interesting in this text because Jesus doesn't just identify that we are the ones who are hungering and thirsting, but we also have this invitation to look outside to see those who outside of ourselves are hungering and thirsting. As theologian and professor Dr. Emily Kamm points out, this beatitude is an invitation for us to look for external application. Who's hungering? Who's thirsting around me? To look towards the other. And I quote, she said, "Blessed are you, well-dressed widow who comes by herself each week. Blessed are you, mother of the noticeably squirmy preschooler and the baby who just discovered how fun it is to yell in church. Blessed are you, gentleman who looks like he's been doing hard physical labor before church and didn't have time to change, but came anyway. And blessed especially are you, people who are so far away from me and my reality that I don't even know what you struggle with. Because God's blessings aren't just about me. They're about how I can bring the blessing to your life." I love how she words that what is it that I'm hungering and thirsting for? And also, how is it that I see this in those around me? How is it that we can meet that need for others? There's someone who's been attending this church for about 4 or 5 months, primarily connecting with the Connect group in Sabbath School, but then coming here to second service. He's now moved to live with a friend for a short period in Texas. But when we were talking at the door one day, he said, "I want to come by and I want to share my story with you." So he came by the office and he was sitting there and sharing his story, sharing the amazing work and movement of God. And I said, "Pastor BT, can you get your camera?" And he had it. We were going to be doing something else with it because for something that's coming. And he had it out and I said, "Can you get it out early and can we just film Raphael?" And without any thought of what was going to happen in how it would connect with today, we just heard his story. And it was so moving to us to be able to hear how God was working in his life. And I want to give you a chance to be able to hear from him today.
I want to share myself, a little bit of myself. Back in the past, back 9 months ago, you would never see me at a church. You would never hear me speak about God. You would never see me what I'm doing right now as of today, recording this, filming this, for the rest of you to hear. And hopefully I inspire you in a diverse way within yourselves. And, as of today, I'm really hungry and thirsty to learn more about God. And that fire is there. I have that fire. And, we can all achieve things within ourselves, but it's how much you are willingly to wanting to change and make choices for yourself to better yourself. Because there's a difference from knowing the path and walking the path. That's a choice that we all must make, either to walk it or to just know it. I can say so for myself that I am no longer a drug addict, and I was able to do this through God. All things are possible through God. And I was 13 years in drugs. I was able to give it up, thanks to our Heavenly Father. Also, I thank myself for choosing to let it go. God has done his part, and I have done my part as well. And I'm very grateful for many things in my life for many great individuals, for many, you know, great mentors, because this church right here has a lot of great mentors here. And each of those mentors that I have spoken with have taught me a great deal about myself and understand myself about where I am today. You know, in this time of age, the way society thinks, you know, a person like myself, you know, I'm Mexican, you know, I got tattoos on me, and for the way people perceive a person like myself, you know, I can't speak for everyone, but for those that perceive me as a gangster or a drug addict and many things of that, you know, but what they don't know is that my name is Rafael Bolaños. I am the son of God, and I am hungry and thirsty for the word of God.
Beautiful, right? What they don't know. You know what the good news about hungering and thirsting is? The rest of this verse. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. That's the promise. Jesus says it. He says it's going to happen. He said the fullness of God comes to you who are willing to be hungry and thirsty. Thoughts from the Mount of Blessing, a little book I've been reading on page 18, it says, not by painful struggles or wearisome toil, not by gift or sacrifice is righteousness obtained, but it is freely given to every soul who hungers and thirsts to receive it. You will be filled. I will be filled. Not because you're worthy or not because we have it all together or finally did enough or had enough hunger or thirst, but you will be filled because you want to receive it and you do. What a gift. What a great God who's like, you're hungry and thirsty here. Have this. How can it be that I can be happy when I'm filled with longing? How can it be that I can be blessed and joyful and yet desiring for something different and something more? This promise that Jesus holds out is for one who hungers, for one who seeks, for one who longs, for one who thirsts, and for one who also at the same time knows that they will be filled. It's a strange paradox that Jesus invites us into. So imagine this continuum right here. Imagine on this one side that we are so hungry and thirsty that we're paralyzed, just not able to take any action. And then imagine on this other side that we're so full that we're paralyzed by just not even feeling any hunger or thirst at all. It's like Jesus is inviting us to live in the tension of knowing we will be satisfied and of knowing that there's need and of having a desperation for God, for right restored relationship, and for justice. And he's inviting us to live in this tension, in between, this tension of need and also this fulfillment. That's where Jesus invites us to dwell, and yet sometimes we don't even let ourselves get hungry or thirsty, so we don't remember what it feels like. Ernie texted me this week because he had a surgery procedure and he had to fast 18 hours, our co-head elder Ernie Medina. And he's like, I do not fast as well as some other people. And some of us really relate to that, right? We do not like fasting. We do not like getting hungry. We do not like getting thirsty. What if next time we're feeling hungry or thirsty, we say, what is this, God? Help me to experience this as a prayer. Help me to experience this as a desire for what you are doing in this world, for what you are working in my life, for longing for what you have that's not what I am experiencing. Help me to experience this hunger and thirst as a way of opening myself up to what you have that's more than what I've had here before. So this text says, happy are you when your hunger and your thirst leads you to change. Satisfied emptiness at what is just and righteous, whole and held while not chasing what won't fill it, all the while receiving the justice and righteousness that God longs to fill us with. Happy are you that are living in satisfied dissatisfaction, hungering and thirsting, and yet simultaneously being satisfied by God. Hungering and thirsting for righteousness goes beyond just doing church or coming to church, but it's about being the church in the world, letting this word of God become active among us, living and longing for God's justice and living it out in our lives, living and longing for God, for complete relationship, for this righteousness that he speaks of. So imagine what this could look like. Imagine if the next time we're hungry that we stop to pray for those who are hungry and ask God, what can I do? Imagine if this longing stirred up in our hearts, this desire to do for one person in front of us what we wish we could do for the rest of the world, but we feel so powerless to do, but we're going to do it for that one. Imagine if we prayed for hunger and thirst and prayed to take notice of those around us. Imagine if we were willing to live in this tension of longing and knowing that God would fill us. What are you being invited to notice today? What are you hungry and thirsty for? And also, what are you seeing in the hunger and thirst of those around you? For it's in living in this tension of hunger and thirst that we are then led to acts of justice, acts of restored relationship, drawing close to God, which are all acts of righteousness. So if you find yourself enjoying food as much as we do, maybe you found yourself most challenged today. Maybe you are praying for that depth of appreciation, of hunger and thirst, of longing for something more. And then there might be people here today that find yourself hungry and thirsty. You find yourself desperate today. Wherever we find ourselves, the promise is we will be filled. So I end with a benediction that is older, centuries old, but has words of great meaning for us today. Oh, may God bless you with discomfort at easy answers and half-truths and superficial relationships so that you may live deep within your heart. May God bless you with anger at injustice, oppression, and exploitation of people so that you may work for justice, freedom, and peace. May God bless you with tears to shed for those who suffer pain, rejection, hunger, and war, so that you may reach out your hand to comfort them and turn their pain into joy. And may God bless you with enough foolishness to believe that you can make a difference in the world, so that you can do what others claim cannot be done, to bring justice and kindness to all our children and the poor. We believe you, Jesus. We believe your promise. Make it so among us that our hunger and thirst would lead us to take action by your Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen.